Okay, it is 5:35, so I am gonna go ahead and get started. We don't have a quorum, so I don't know if I can technically call it to order, but we are getting started. Bart, are you responsible for roll call today?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Nathaniel.
Present.
Doug.
Here.
CD.
Here.
Michael J. Absent. Sarah.
Here.
Peter. Also absent. And Mike Williams has an excused absent. So there are four people present.
Okay, so we do not have quorum, so we cannot approve the agenda. We will have an informational meeting. If we have a fifth person arrive, we can take care of some action items at that time. But for now, we will go ahead and move on. We can't approve the minutes of May 9th or June 13th. We will do some public involvement, though. I will read the public involvement announcement. Audience participation at this meeting is limited to the public comment section of the agenda. However, the chair may open any agenda item for public comment. Written comments will be addressed first, then verbal comments on a first recognized basis by the board chair. Each commenter should state their name so it can be recorded in the minutes. Commenters will have 2 minutes to speak on each agenda item they wish to comment on. With that, we will move to the October 24 service change update and public comment period.
Okay, I'm going to start.
Nobody brought mics or anything so people can hear what you're saying?
I will talk loud. Can you hear me? And then we're gonna have some stuff on the screen as well, which is the same as what's on the website.
Okay.
So my name is Bart Rudolph. I'm the Planning and Communications Manager for Public Transportation Department. Steve N. Stone is our planner and scheduler right now, doing two roles. So we're gonna go over,
I don't think anything's up there.
It's a black screen.
Cool, yeah, that's helpful.
Let me scoot over so you can see.
Yeah. Okay. Go, Ms. Judge. Hoping that what I see is on.
Is the TV on?
It was. Oh, maybe it went to sleep or something.
I wonder if it, auto turns off.
Oh, it does.
Oh, I don't know.
Something's happening.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
No, it's screens. Right. Okay.
Hopefully it's safe. There we go. Okay. Okay, so we're going to go over the proposed changes for the October service change. All of these changes are highlighted in the agenda packet that is over there on the table. And this is our website that we have live right now. So I'm gonna go quickly go over the main points of it. Basically, this will take effect October 28th. We do two service changes a year. We do one in the spring, one in the fall for a winter schedule and a summer schedule. So this is the winter schedule that will also incorporate these changes. As we discussed during last meeting, we are having a driver shortage right now that is both of vacancies of operators and operators not reporting to work due to other factors such as illness, lack of childcare, FMLA, workman's comp, things of those natures. So on a daily basis, we have a fluctuation of drivers that is less than the amount of drivers that we need every day. So we are forcing drivers to work overtime just to maintain the schedule that we have. And even now, we are missing a lot of trips. Just today, we canceled 3 different work runs, which is probably 34 trips were canceled today just because of a lack of drivers. So the goal of this service change, unfortunately, is to reduce service to get the amount of drivers that we can actually have every day, report to work, and deliver the service that we have promised to the public. Because right now, we are obviously not meeting expectations when we're not delivering the service that we said we would. So the goal is to right-size the service, and the first part here is just some of the factors that have happened over the first 6 months of the year. We've spent $750,000 just in overtime to bus operators just to get them to help perform the schedule. On average, we're short 32 drivers every day. And our on-time performance has slipped to 74%. So our buses are only on time 74% of the time. Our standard, what we'd like to be at, is 85%. And then we had 224 missed trips in that period. But like Stephen said today, we missed 34 just in today alone. So it's not getting any better. So the options that we have are to reduce the amount of service until we can get the bus operators back up to a number that is sustainable. So we have three goals. One is prioritizing bus operator safety. We really want to make sure that our bus operators, their health and wellness are prioritized, that they're well rested, that we're not overworking them. There's a new contract requirement that they need 10 hours between shifts. That's obviously a really good idea because we don't want tired bus operators, but it does limit the just how much work they can possibly do. And we are letting them work as much as they possibly want, and we just need to focus on their health and wellness. Two is the customer experience. That's the reliability factor that I mentioned earlier. We are not as reliable as we'd like it to be because we are missing trips and canceling trips and leaving people standing at the bus stops when they think a bus is coming and it's not coming because we don't have an operator to perform that work. And then three is the open lines of communications. We have, this is just one of several public meetings. This is the more formal of public meetings that we're having regarding the service change. In your packet and online, there is a list of other meetings that we'll be at that you can have a conversation with us. And there's also many other ways to comment as far as online, phone calls, email, things of that nature. So those are the goals. Here's the timeline. We proposed changes on July 5th, and we are proposing two options. We had a mandate from the director to reduce the number of drivers needed each day. So as the planning department, we came up with a bunch of scenarios on how we could make that happen. The management team at the Public Transportation Department met, and they determined that these are the two scenarios that they would be willing to entertain and would like the public's comment on. So that's why we are here today with the two comments. That comment period ends on August 5th. Then over the next couple of months, Stephen will be working out all the details of what that means for the schedule, and we'll present the timetables and the new schedule at the end of September, which is 1 month prior to when it takes effect, just to give people as enough advance notice as possible if their routes are affected. They'll have some time to make some arrangements. So obviously, you know, this is not something that we want to do. This is not something that we strive to do. We have big plans to grow this department and this thing, but we just simply can't do that without a workforce that's large enough to do that. We just don't have that right now. So, two proposed changes, and we have this table online that summarizes the differences between them. And the table is also expanded in a little bit more detail in your packet. Everything in red is what would change under each scenario. And we have option A.
Can you tell me what page that's on?
This is the third page of the packet, the third full page. And it's got this little red chart on it.
Thank you.
Yep. The first column is the route number. The second column is what its current frequency is. So that means how often the bus comes on that particular route right now today. And then option A says what it would change to, and for option B it says what it would change to. And there are essentially one difference between them. The option A is taking all of the 30-minute routes and making them every 60 minutes in an effort to preserve the 15-minute service in the other parts of the city, recognizing that some people really like the every 15 minutes. We're adjusting it to every 17 minutes, but still keeping it fast and frequent as much as we can. But that comes at the expense of all of the standard routes now going to 60 minutes. Option B is the opposite. We're going to take away 15-minute service from just one route, and it preserves all the other route frequencies. So, you know, it's basically, do you want to keep the 15-minute service at the expense of other routes, or do you want to eliminate 15-minute service on one of the routes to keep everything else the same? Those are the two main options. Then, and they're summarized in text on the next page. Then we have this additional cut. So if we choose an option and we still can't get to the number of drivers that we have and we need to cut just a little bit more, We're asking people to weigh in on what would be their preference out of these next three things. And one of them is reducing the frequency just after 8 p.m. on three routes, the 35, the 55, and the 65. So after 8 p.m., it would go to every 60 minutes instead of every 30 minutes. Or on the weekday, do we stop service on these four routes at 10 p.m. instead of midnight? That's the 11, 31, 41, and 51, the neighborhood routes. Currently they go to midnight, but maybe they'll stop at 10 p.m. Or do we look at the weekend frequency and change the 31 and the 51 to every 60 minutes instead of every 30 minutes? So those are smaller little tweaks that we may have to do if we still need to get the driver number down to where we need it to be. So those are the options, and the reason we presented them as options, as packages of options, is because they all come with consequences to other routes. So we didn't want to say, do you want to keep the Route 25 at every 15 minutes? Because if they say yes, then that means, well, we also have to do X, Y, and Z. And they don't. People may not realize that when they're choosing that option. So we wanted to present the whole picture together. That's why they're presented as options. So we're asking for feedback on an online survey. There are also paper surveys available at this meeting or at customer service office. If you don't have internet or just feel more comfortable filling out a paper survey, those are available to you. But that survey's here. You get to vote for option A or B, and then you get to vote for one of these three other cuts. If here's the list of meetings that we're going to be at. That's the next page on your packet with the QR code. This QR code, you can also scan it. We'll take you to the website. But all of these other events are places where we will be. Maria is our business and public outreach coordinator. She will be at all of them. Steven and I will also be at most of them, but one of us will be at all of them, where we are happy to answer more questions that you might have. You can also email, mail, or talk to somebody on the phone number that's on the side of the bus. You can visit the customer service office. So I think that pretty much sums it up. Public comment ends August 5th. I think first we will take board comments, and then they will open it up to the public. Did I miss anything?
Yes. Okay. Does anybody have a comment before I go?
Go ahead.
So this sounds more complicated than just you're having trouble filling vacancies. It's a combination of vacancies and the people you have can't come to work for whatever reason.
Right.
And that is a complex reason. If we as a board, sure. If we as a board were to advocate for a way to make it so when we do our 6 month service change in the spring, that's the schedule, correct? Where should we focus our energies on as a board and also to the public for advocacy for fixing that? What's most broken? Is it childcare? Is it there aren't enough positions? Is it not enough qualified applicants are applying? What is our big, bright, shining issue that we could start with?
That's a good question, and unfortunately, it's not just one big thing. So it's really a two-prong issue, I'll say issue. One is vacancies. We have a hard time filling the vacancies of bus operators because we require them to have a CDL license with a passenger endorsement and 1 year experience. So that is a unique qualification in and of itself, whereas like the school district will hire somebody and train them to get their CDL. You know, we do not have a training program at the municipality, so they have to come with that experience. So attracting that people, it's a dwindling pool of people within, you know, our community that probably has that. So we are not getting as many applicants as we have in the past. We have also had instances where a lot of our drivers come from the school district. They will get hired on at the school district, they will work the required year or 2 years that they sign on for, they'll come to us then with a CDL license. The school district is wise to that. They have boosted their pay. They are now keeping them employed through the summer, so they have full-time work. The incentives for them to leave that job to come to the Muni no longer exist. The pay is equivalent, the benefits are equivalent, now the work is kind of, so that is kind of like what used to bring drivers to us that, is not happening as much. So that's one issue. The other issue is the calling in sick, the FMLA, just things that happen in life, and this is not to blame any operator, it's just we all get sick, we all have childcare issues, we all, get hurt or injured, but we just have a lot of that within our department. We also have a rule that 10% of the drivers can be on vacation, so that takes 10% drivers right off the top too, because people need vacation and they need leave, so that's another combination of things. So I wish I could say it was one particular thing, but it is multiple. I will say the new administration, Bill Falsey, who is our now chief administrative officer, has called a meeting with HR and our director to talk about this issue specifically, because they learned about this as everyone else did as they were coming into office. So I think it is a priority for them. And so that's the first order of business, is to meet with HR, meet with us, and figure out what's happening. It's a long-winded answer to your question.
And I have a follow-up.
Okay.
Is having a CDL training program on the table? And have you received feedback that would help?
I don't know the specifics to that, because I'm not typically in those conversations. That would be a Jamie and Wes thing, who are both not here. So I don't know why we don't have one, but I do hear that it would help. But there are reasons why we don't have one right now, and I just don't know what they are.
Oh. Who would know?
Jamie and Wes would know.
Okay.
Well, I've got a follow-up to Sarah's. If CDLs are not uncommon, but it sounds like we do a CDL plus, like there's some other requirement, passenger requirement or something. Wonder if that's the training we could do. If you have a CDL, we can get you the CDL plus.
Yeah, I'm not too sure on the specifics of CDL, but I don't think that extra requirement is a big deal.
Oh, it's
the experience.
Yeah, it's the experience.
Okay.
Somebody could go to a training program, pay out of pocket, and get a license, but the extra year, which used to be 3, that year of experience would be hard to get if you just have the license from an outside company that you would pay. There are companies in Alaska and the Valley that provide that training to get you your class A, B, or C with proper endorsements for hazmats, tanks, passengers, school buses, and the like.
Sure.
But part of it is the extra year of experience that we require.
Is that extra year, is that equivalent to other cities our size?
Yes, for public transit operators, yes.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a pretty good requirement.
And how many, I'm sorry, is that you, CBO? Oh, Doug, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say I'm just really gratified to see people here engaging with the process, and I really appreciate that. And we're having public comment with regard to this change, and I just want to make it clear that it's a comment period. It's not a situation in which either we or you can demand an answer from a staff person. You can ask, there's discretion to answer a question, but sometimes people get confused about that and think that the staff have to answer things that are posed as questions. So I guess also, are we gonna try to follow the same timeline that we have generally for public comments?
Mm-hmm.
When we
2 minutes,
have?
Yes.
Okay, that was my question, so thank you.
And then I have one more question. How many positions do you need for drivers to get service restored and get us back on track with Totem?
So right now we require, how many full-time positions, rosters? 106 full-time rosters. We have 121 positions. And so that is not enough to keep the 106. What that magic number is, I don't know if we're down on average 32, you know, it seems to say that we would need 138. Okay. You know, but, you know, I know Jamie has said in the past that it's not just a budget and a PCN problem. Like, we can add more drivers, but we still have the sick and the vacation and all these other things that compound. So
we can't get to 121 either.
Yeah, and we have rarely been at 121. Okay. So even if you add more positions, the chances of us filling those positions in the current state is slim. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
And it fluctuates so much. I gave a news interview to ADN on Monday, and we had 3 vacancies. Today we're up to 5. You know, so it's like somebody, just because like we hired somebody, but they didn't come in to do their pre-work checkup, you know, their drug test. They just didn't show up, so put them down. You know, so it's like it's up and down every day.
And a PCN is a permanent position that's been approved by the assembly and funded,
yeah,
and everything.
Fully funded in our budget. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other board comments or questions?
I have one.
Mm-hmm.
If I read and saw it correctly, so we have 121 potential operators, or is that routes?
Operators.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And on average, daily average, 32 don't show up, which is 26%. I don't know of any business that can operate with not having a quarter of the resources show up every day. Is this time to look at policies and procedures and maybe these? Everybody's due their vacation and all that, I understand. I've run businesses too.
Yep.
Is there something there that we're not looking at close enough, or is that part of the CBA that we can't touch?
The vacation is not part of the CBA, it's an internal policy. So that is something that we are gonna look at when Bill Falsey and the HR representative and Jamie meet. That is something they will look at.
And not necessarily seniority, but maybe like, you know, schedule-wise, whoever asks first come, first served to. I don't know, 26% is a lot to not show up every day.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Any additional board comments? Okay, seeing none, I will open it up to public comment. There's many of you today. I'm so excited to see you all. So it is 2 minutes per person. I'm gonna set this phone to a 2-minute timer so it will ding, so I don't have to interrupt you, but it will let you know that your 2 minutes is up. This is public record, and this recording will be available on the website. Did we think in about 2 days?
About two days.
Or
Monday,
two business days?
By Monday.
By Monday. Yeah. Okay. So.
When you start?
Yes, one moment. So I do ask, before you get started, to state your name for the record so we know who is speaking, and then these will go on the website. So if you would like to speak, raise your hand, and I will call on you as I see you, and then let you know when I've hit the green start button. So I saw you first in the blue shirt in the front row, and go ahead. Go ahead.
I thought I was the second on the list. I don't know.
Oh, I was going to call by hands raised.
I was second, I think. I was after the guy.
Oh, I was calling on the lady in the blue shirt right here in the front.
Huh?
I'm calling on the lady in the blue shirt in the front row.
Oh, okay.
Okay, one moment. Let me get you restarted.
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I want to thank you for the input on the options given and so forth and the many chances to give the input. I do have one comment about maybe trying to somehow coordinate or recruit people that, like, say, work for Hall and Prentiss during the summer. And so maybe they would, you know, be available to work in the fall, at least. Short-term solution.
And what was your name?
Linda Larson.
Thank you.
And I regularly ride the bus, and it is frustrating for the riders to have this yo-yo thing of, okay, we're increasing service, now we're decreasing service. And, you know, and drivers aren't available, and it seems like the incidence of that has increased, and, you know, I hardly ever see a driver that's a long-term one anymore. It's been quite a while since I've done that.
Thank you. And you, in the ma'am in the purple, you were next. Go ahead. And please state your name for the record. Go ahead.
Karen Carson. I had something written up. Come to find out, it was different stated on the website, but different than what's in this book. So I'm reading it. What's I read it as. I would like to suggest a slight change to Plan B. I prefer that one. Instead of keeping 10, 20, 30, 40 every 15 minutes, maybe make it every 30 minutes. No, keep that every 50 minutes. I would like to suggest 10, 20, 25, 35, 40. Oh, it's on a 15-minute schedule. Every 15, 20 minutes, it's on a schedule. I'd like to change that. Instead of keeping those to every 15 minutes, I'd like to suggest a change to B. Change to the B for buses 10, 20, 25, 35, and 40. And make them go every 30 minutes instead of every 15 minutes. And some of the other, like I said, and we're already keeping the schedule for 25 as 15 or 17 minutes. That would include, but would like to include 35, and I just found out today that is on an every 15 or 20, 30 minute change. So a lot of what I've written here is done. And that's not, this is not a change, but 65 and 40 needs to connect at the airport, so as 40 is kept at every 30 minutes, at least keep 65 an hour, and that would every other time they would need the airport to go south. There's a lot of shopping districts. I'd like to rewrite this in the pre-set at some other time.
Certainly.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Do we have access to the survey? Do we have that here?
Do we have access to the survey?
In writing?
It's on the desk, yes,
you know,
on your way in.
Do you know there's a survey over that you can take? There's that survey? You can make your changes on that survey?
Oh, I've already...
You did it?
I already sent in my changes preferred being instead of...
Great, thank you. And the black shirt here. Go ahead and state your... State your name for the record and go ahead.
Hi, my name is Murat Amir. I'm an editor with the Northern Light, and I just have one quick question. Was there a representative body or individual that I could speak with that represents specifically the drivers? Or would that be you guys?
Well, I represent the department as a whole.
Okay. I'm specifically asking about the drivers.
We don't have, you can talk to the union.
Okay.
Yeah, they're Teamsters, Local 959.
Okay.
I
appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And if I could have a fresh raise of hands of folks who haven't come yet. Kyle, I know that you were in the front the first time, and then so Kyle, and then Sir in the blue jacket, and then octopus shirt. Apologies for the descriptions. Okay, go ahead.
All right. I originally was more keen on option B because it seemed like it affected the least number of routes, but in me talking to the drivers on the routes that I frequent and their opinions and how this worked, they leaned more towards option A, so I personally tend to want to kind of go with what I was talking with them about. The other thing that I really wanted to see is that if there is this change in routes, if it is at all possible, because we're working a lot of these operators so hard, it'd be really nice to see their lunches extended along with this schedule change. And I would hope that by making some of these routes so that they're going every 60 minutes, that there may be more opportunities for them to be able to try and fit a longer lunch in between there. I heard it talked before that there was the idea of like, hey, let's maybe see if we can get some of the drivers that like kind of operate for the hotels, and talking with some of the drivers, a lot of them are currently working two jobs. They already work at both, so it's there's just doesn't seem to be a pool that we can pull from. There's no like emergency contract like we can do for snow service or anything like that. And then when it comes to the if additional cuts need to be made, it definitely seems like in talking to drivers that the weekday span is like preferred for them, that a lot of drivers, they say that anything past 10 p.m. their buses are very empty, and for them, they're staying up late, and then sometimes they're having to, you know, go and work overtime the next day and like having that lack of sleep. And so I think that that change, while it's not great for the people who really rely on that late night service, it seems like it would also be like a real moral improvement to the folks that are running those routes who are working all this overtime, working super late, for them to be driving around and running in these kind of really empty buses. I could see that being really demoralizing. So that's kind of where I go, is the weekday span, and then option B or option A, because that spreading out of routes affects more fairly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and then gentleman in the blue coat, please state your name for the record and go ahead.
So, my name is Lee Brissy. I'm just speaking as a rider of the bus system here, and I'm perfectly happy with it. And I think it's a great idea that they brought this issue up, because I don't really see it on a daily basis. What I see as far as the changes go, what concerns me is, let's say if I'm on my way to Costco, I'm going to take the Arctic bus, and my schedule is such that I go out and it's 20 degrees out. Right now, I have no problem with the bus schedule, but if it's 20 degrees out, I get there at 4:54 in the afternoon, well, whatever, and I'm not going to be able to stand out there for an hour. I don't know a lot of people who are going to stand out there for an hour waiting for the bus to come. It just ain't going to happen for me. The other thing, as far as the extreme changes, what I see is the routes ending at 10 p.m. I don't work or anything after 10 p.m., but it seems to me that's a viable option, and which is, of course, why you guys put it up there in the first place. But this business of 60 minutes, I don't know about that. But yeah, I'm a happy customer, and I keep it that way.
Thank you. Okay. And please state your name for the record and go ahead.
Hi, my name is Luis. I ride the bus quite a bit. Now, I was just wondering why the proposed service reductions are mostly on the routes that are the highest ridership. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yes.
And how come it's not reducing service on 40 is not considered when it's one of the most frequent routes, but it's the least ridden of the 15-minute routes.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I was confused about why 85 right now is hourly for most of the day, but every 30 minutes between like noon and 4 o'clock, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And then the thing about customer experience, I think just most important is prioritizing not only that trips do not get canceled, but making sure that they're on time too, because of frustration that I've had too many times, and also something that keeps people from, you know, like saying, oh, maybe I'll take the bus today, or like maybe I'll try the bus out, is that often it's not on time. And I know that's like traffic is a big variable in that, but if there's any way to improve that, that would be great. I was also wondering if getting signal priority would at all be a possibility. I heard that that people in Uber buses used to have signal priority a while ago, and on-time performance was great, but then some political stuff happened and that was taken away, and something now like Uber. And then with the with what you said about having trouble finding drivers with the 1 year experience, would it be possible to employ drivers with less experience on smaller vehicles? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Did I get everybody who wishes to make a public comment? Okay, me. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, please state your name for the record. Go ahead.
Hi there, my name is Bailey Demir. I'm here as a bus rider and as a UAA student. I really rely on the bus pretty heavily, and I am in favor overarchingly of option A, but I would just like to say that I really want to see both the well-being of the drivers as well as the riders prioritized. I concur with some fellow members of the public. I've heard here discussing issues related to the bus being late sometimes. I myself have also been witness to discrepancies between the schedule and the online version of the People Mover and actually at the sites, like the bus stops themselves, which can be really problematic and can cause some significant issues for riders. So I just think that decreasing service on top of the issues that riders already face is just not obviously great news. I understand that everyone kind of realizes it to be as such, but I am really heartened by the news that potentially with this new administration we'll have more resources or some sort of changes in allocation such that this will not be an issue in the future. But going into the winter, just especially with the consideration about snow and stuff, I'm just worried that like we're going to be reducing service right when it gets cold. And I'm just wondering if there's any possibility that we can maybe prioritize plowing pedestrian areas near any routes that are being, reduced in terms of service, because I just think that's really important. I worry about people who are far out in not very walkable areas. I think those are the main things I had to say. Overarchingly in favor of option A, just democratizing the change,
Thank you. Okay, thank you. And did I get everybody? All right, one moment, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, please state your name for the record, and go ahead, sir, in the gray uniform.
My name is Colin Humison. Want me to start now?
Yes, please.
We need more bus service, not less bus service. Both Plan A and Plan B should be scrapped. Start over, please. The reasons that there is a bus driver shortage are, one, the training for passenger endorsement is booked full. Class A truck drivers are ready to drive a bus, but the passenger endorsement is required, and the only school is booked until next year. Fix that. Number two, instead of working drivers long hours and causing them to quit from fatigue, have a 40-hour work week and no overtime. That would also save money. Three, also have schedules of less than 40 hours a week. That would interest even more drivers. These three steps would increase the amount of bus drivers and also save overtime money. Another way to save money is to use smaller buses and use them on more routes, not on less routes. More routes with more buses and stopping more often would increase ridership, because A, more routes would reach more people. B, less waiting would interest more riders. Smaller buses, smaller buses would make would save money and also make more fares and more money to buy more buses. D, another way to increase ridership is to make sure sidewalks and bus stops are clear of snow so that riders can enter and exit the bus safely and then walk to where they are going in safety. These four steps would increase ridership. You now have increased ridership, increased bus drivers, increased routes, less wait time. All this plus increased safety and increased access to the buses and the businesses of Anchorage that the buses serve. Also, this would save money and make even more money. Finally, we need to decrease congestion, free up parking, reduce air pollution, reduce global warming. Better bus service and more bus service is essential for these goals. Plan A and B are both wrong direction in the modern city. Scrap both now before it's too late. Sorry, I ran over.
Thanks. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Yes, sir, in the hat. Please state your name for the record. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Michael Easton. I'm in agreement here with that person who spoke before me. I work for a company that's pretty prominent in this town, been operating since 1929. I'm a driver myself, and I understand the issues that the city is having with drivers. A lot of driving companies are having the same issue. I was not aware of some of your qualifications that you have. I am not aware if you hire felons or not. That is also another workforce that is very underused. The company I work for does. I ride Bus 31. I have been riding Bus 31s for 2 years, working for the company that I work for. I have been late every single day since day one. Then you went and changed Route 31 from 6:30 pickup time at my bus stop to 6:42. So now I am not just 5 to 15 minutes late to work. I'm anywhere from 15 to 45 minutes late to work. Because not only did you change Route 31, you changed Route 20. So the Route 31 only accesses northeast Mountain View, whereas 20 gets the southeast end. And you're wanting to change these two routes to every 60 minutes. That's a very bad idea. I'm wondering if you guys have done a study on Route 40 that runs every 15 minutes. You want to keep it every 15 minutes. Who are we really trying to appease here? Because it really feels like you're trying to run out the poor side of town.
Thank you. So, actually, folks get one opportunity to...
Is there also a GED requirement for the bus system? Curious to know that as well, in addition to what the drivers.
Okay, so in the spirit of fairness, what I was going to say at the end was, if you have questions that you want a response to, I really encourage folks to email the transit planning email, and a person will get back to you. I know sometimes we put out questions as like, have you guys thought about? So yes, we've got those on recording. We'll think about those. We will, the staff will incorporate that into their processes. But if you do have a question that you want a concrete answer to, please use the options, either the email or the phone call, the contact options in the packet. Are there any concrete factual things that were easy answers and do not require consultation?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah, a few of them. There are a few questions that I wrote down that I feel like would be good for the benefit of the group. Why the highest ridership routes? You know, I think that question came up. Why not the Route 40? The main reason is the Route 25 was never intended to be a frequent route. That's why the line is purple. It's kind of a route that has fluctuated between 15 and 30 minutes. It is also the longest route. So by just adjusting that route, it saves all the other routes. It does happen to be the highest ridership route. So it does affect the most people. So that is a trade-off, right? There was also a decision internally to try and preserve the 15-minute routes that we originally structured in 2017, which is the routes 10, 20, 30, and 40. Those coincide with the land use plan and the transit-oriented development corridors, because we don't want to keep adjusting and fluctuating the frequent routes, because we want development and high-density development to occur around those routes to help with the housing shortage. And if we keep changing those, you can't rely on public transportation as a viable option without a car. So that is the reason that option exists. On-time performance, big issue. One of the things that we are going to do also is adjust the running times. So right now, sometimes we have scheduled not enough time between different time points, which is why the routes are running late. That will be readjusted. We meet with a team of drivers and we go over that. So we adjust those every service change. So hopefully that won't keep happening. So the schedule that we put out in October, whatever it may be, should be more reliable, just because it factors in more driving time. And that's something that we do all the time. Signal priority, talking about it with the engineering department. Yes, we used to have it. The new traffic engineer that was hired, it's not so new anymore, it's probably hired 3 years ago, is on board with it, and we are talking about what equipment we need and what the parameters would be to do that. So that's on the table, yes.
That's where a light may change at a different time because the bus is approaching.
Yeah, typical, like an ambulance or a fire truck, if they get the green light. So if we set up parameters that say if the bus is more than 5 or 10 minutes late, it would trigger the light to be green to put it back on schedule. All of the signals in the municipality now have that capability. We would need to put a piece of equipment on our buses, and we would need to work that out still. So yes, good idea. It's in a lot of plans that are out there now that are being developed muni-wide to do that. I think we do require a GED, but that is also something that we're going to talk about with Bill Falsey and the HR director. Smaller vehicles don't cost that much less to operate. The cost of operations is the cost of the driver. That driver gets paid the same whether they're driving a small or large bus. Yes, there is some savings when you go to purchase the bus, and there's mild fuel savings, but generally a smaller bus, it's not the same. Then all you do is create issues that may provide overcrowding or capacity issues, and you may have to leave people at the bus because those tiny buses only hold 17 people. So we've looked into that. Anything else I want to say? Pedestrian snow in pedestrian areas is always a big deal. We continue to have conversations with street maintenance. The public transportation department is responsible for the bus stop itself. We have a team of 4 people to take care of 700 bus stops. We do the snow clearing on the bus stop. The sidewalk is the responsibility of either the municipality street maintenance department or the Department of Transportation, depending on road ownership. So we try to coordinate with them. We try to get our bus routes on their priority list so that when they do clear the sidewalks, they're clearing the sidewalks on transit routes first. We have that open conversation all the time.
And the bus stop is something like 20 by 50? Or
Well, the minimum bus stop should be 5 by 8.
Oh.
But some of them are long, are the entire length of the bus. Some of them are nothing more than a patch of grass.
Oh, okay.
But the ADA requirements are 5 by 8.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, every bus stop is different almost.
And Bart, this gentleman was talking about, I call it CDL Plus, that maybe the school's booked up for a year. Do we know if that's...
Yeah, no, that's the first I've heard. Maybe our operations department knows that. That's not something that I would know, so I'm not saying yes.
There's only one school in town that's operated by the union that you use, and it's called CEE, Center for Employment Education. It's on B Street, 34th Street anyway. And that's the only one. If you go to Palmer towards Homer, there's a school out those ways. And yes, it is booked up. I just talked to them yesterday, and they are still booked up. They say they might be able to have a cancellation. But if you want drivers, that's probably the first place to start. Get these truck drivers. I'm a CDL. Get me to where I can get the passenger endorsement, and you have a driver.
Okay. I would like to move on to the directors and operations update, but I also want to remind folks that there is 2 minutes at the end for public comment as well. So if something percolates, we will have 2 minutes again at the end. Bart, are you giving the directors and operations update?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Jamie was supposed to be back yesterday, but her leave got unexpectedly extended, so she's not back until Monday. So then I have no director's update. So.
Okay.
Yes, I'm giving you an update that there is no update.
Okay. Well, that was fast. Do you have an operations update, or is Jamie giving that one too?
Same.
Yes, okay.
I don't have anything to report.
Have you a ridership update?
Yeah, sure. That's
excellent.
In the That is in the packet, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These fun, colorful graphs. So June really continued our growth up to our highest ridership month since the pandemic. 11,500 people rode the bus last month. Our pre-pandemic number is just over 12,000, and that was one of the highest ridership years. So we are almost back to pre-pandemic levels, and we're continuing to trend upwards in ridership. So that is good news. And then the bottom graph just says where the ridership is per route, and you can see that the route 25 is the highest ridership route. Everything that we've heard today, the route 40 is the least of the frequent routes, but not by much. So that just breaks down each route. And then the on-time performance. On the next page, you can see which routes have the best and worst on-time performance. You can see the half-hour routes have better on-time performance than the frequent routes, but that is something that we are striving to change because our goal is to be on time 85%. And just so everybody knows, on-time means up to 5 minutes past the scheduled time. So if we arrive 3 minutes after the scheduled time, we still consider that on-time. But we can never leave that time point early. So 0 to 5 minutes is on time. And then the bottom part is just the legend. You know, our route map is color-coded by frequency, just so people can easily look at the color and know how often the bus comes, and we're just reminding people of why that is. The next page is our anchor rides ridership. That fell to 12,298 people, still more than last year.
Bart, can I ask a question?
Sir?
Does anchor rides have a similar problem with employees, operators showing up?
They have a less of a problem. They do have a little bit of a shortage, but their operators do not require the CDL license.
Sure. No, I just meant.
Yeah, so they have an easier time of hiring people. But there are.
A contractor.
Yeah.
It is a contractor. They're, you know, so we pay them to provide the service, the behind the scenes of how they get that done. So I'm not pervert to, but April, who is.
Can you remind us the name of the contractor?
MV.
Right.
But yeah, so I know that they are short drivers as well. I just don't know what the percentage
is. Not so much short, I just mean sort of this missing, whether it's work or sick, or I mean vacation or sick or whatever, it seems like 26% is still in my mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
That's fine. The next page is their on-time performance. The three-year average is the red line on top, averaging in the 90s. Their on-time performance is low as well, in the 85s. I'm sorry, I don't have much detail as to why that is. Unduplicated customers, 957, so that's how many people are using Anchor Rides. Individual people are using Anchor Rides every month, 957 last month, higher than our three-year average. The rideshare report, that's the orange graph. I guess you're following along on the TV, huh? Yep, thank you. We added a few more van pools in May, so we're back up to 92. These are van pools that operate between the Matthew Valley and Anchorage. Some of them originated in Eagle River and come to town. Some of them originated in Girdwood and come into town. 533 people participated in van pools. Next page is vehicle miles saved. This is just because of the van pool program, that's 607,000 miles that aren't used in a single occupancy vehicle. So that's miles saved off the road, which equates to emissions and CO2. And everybody looks forward to how many pounds of CO2 did we eliminate last month, or in the month of May? Well, that answer is 463,007 pounds. Exactly. That's all I have.
I have a question slash comment.
Sure.
On the Anchor Rides on-time performance, my understanding is that part of the reason those numbers are as different as they are is because how it was measured changed. Can we get a report in August about why it's quite that drastic? Because it seems like a lot.
Yes, we'll have April come and give a whole report on Anchor Rides and talk about the on-time performance.
Okay. And is that also, oh no, it says right there 15 minutes, plus or minus, okay.
Yeah. I know that they have different reporting requirements and different requirements on the contractor as well, and that's why it changed, but.
Okay. I'm gonna ask the members of the public, have the 2 minutes at the end, but I wanna make time for board folks for questions and comments on the ridership update. We're going to wait till public comment.
I have one just question.
Yes.
Regarding these routes we're talking about potentially eliminating after 10 p.m., do we have ridership data after 10 p.m. on those? I mean, I would assume.
Yes, we do.
Okay, just looking at the numbers, it looks like the best ones to tax.
Yeah, and the best way is the ridership report that is in front of you, that's also online, has a graph for each route, and it shows how many people ride it every hour, at every trip.
I missed that.
The report card.
The report card.
Oh,
sorry.
Thanks, I missed it.
What did I say report? The report card.
Which is the book clip.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's this, okay.
Yeah,
all right, thanks.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Okay, are there any other member comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the chair report. That's me. So I really don't have much to report this month. I have also been out of town on an unexpected trip. So if I'm a little slow in getting back to emails, apologies, I am working through that inbox. If it needs to be handled sooner rather than later, please come see me. And then coming up in August and this fall, we will be looking at what our 2025 goals are for supporting the public transit department and how we can get some of these routes back up to where they were, and our goals for 2025 as a board. So be looking for that in August and September, and we will also, I'm looking forward to the report on what other transit agencies are doing regarding bringing things onto the bus that was presented by a member of the public. Yep. So that is my report for now, but members, please be watching for an email. We are contemplating adjusting the date of the regular meeting for August, because August 8th is the employee awards ceremony, and there are several transit staff that have been nominated. So I would like transit staff to all be able to go. So we're going to send out a couple options. Right now it's looking like August 14th or 15th. So members of the public, pencil in one of those dates as a save the date, and members be looking for that email. That's all I have. Now we will go to public comments. So folks have another opportunity. So I'm going to stand up so I can see hands. So if you would like to speak in the public comment section, please raise your hand. Okay, I saw gentleman in the gray shirt first, then ma'am in the purple, and sir in the hat. So go ahead, please, again, state your name for the record, and go ahead.
I was talking to a lady yesterday. She lived here most all her life, I guess, older person. And she said the bus used to stop within a half a block of her home, and now it's a 2-mile walk. She said it's been going downhill all those years. I don't see why it has to continue to go downhill. We're supposed to be going in the other direction. The other thing is that if you get a van small enough, I think it's 15 passenger, all you need is a Class C license. You could pay them less. There you go. Now you have your route more often, more places, people taking it more often, making more money. I don't see what's wrong with the positive outlook on things instead of get rid of the little bit that we have.
Okay, no, thank you. Okay, and ma'am, please again state your name for the record. Go ahead.
Karen Carson. And when I stood up before, I said I'd like to suggest the change to be stating 10, 20, and 25, 35, and 40. From every 15 minutes to 30, but I was also wanting to add within that, the change would help benefit the difficulty of getting to the bus stops on time with the snow and ice. And I think by extending it 15 minutes, it would give an extra time because they start out and then they run into a snag due to snow or ice. And within that 15 minutes, maybe the bus will go by in about 1 or 2 minutes. And they're only about 5 minutes away from the bus stop, and that extra would help with the instead of every 15 minutes, make it 30 for the winter time.
Okay, thank you. And gentlemen in the hat, please state your name and go ahead.
Hello, my name is Michael Easton. I agree with Colin on a lot of things. My biggest question to the city is, when your own information here has Route 20 as being your second biggest route, yet it only accesses half of Mountain View. Bus 25, your busiest route, accesses all of Muldoon. That's part of the reason why it's the biggest route. Bus 30 is your biggest late bus. I know this because I've been riding it for the last 2 years. Bus 31 has a problem in the wintertime coming up because of the hill that where it comes down to my bus stop. And instead of routing it to come back down 6th to Newell to 4th, you have it go down Boniface. And those of us that catch that bus right there don't know that the bus is being rerouted. Your new app, if those of us that know how to use it, mm-hmm. can access it when the internet is working properly, can find out where the bus is at and see if it's actually going to be rerouted. But 9 times out of 10, we're not going to know that information until the bus goes by. And we're not going to know the bus goes by because it's 500 yards down the road, and all you have is a little window to see if the bus is going to go by or not. So my suggestion is, if you're going to have bus 31 reroute like that, please have it come back down 6th, so that those of us that have to go to work every freaking morning can actually get to work. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public? Sir, in the octopus shirt.
20 and Mountain View, not.
Go ahead.
My name's Elise. I was just wondering if it's been considered possible stop removals on certain sections of certain routes. I'm not sure how this would work on the other routes, but I know on Route 10, right, like between the highway and Minnesota, it seems like people are getting off at almost like every single stop. Mm-hmm. So it might be nice to have some of those stops removed so then the bus can go faster. Perhaps this is something to look into on 25, so then the drivers are spending less time on each trip. And I was also wondering, PCN was mentioned a few times, what does that stand for? And I'm also wondering, how useful is the definition of on time if it's within 5 minutes? Because that seems like a really generous definition to me. And where do we submit paper surveys if we'd like to submit one? That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. There were some concrete questions,
yeah,
but yes,
yeah.
Or no answers.
Yeah, PCN is just position control number. It just means that is a one full-time position at the municipality. So one PCN equals one employee. It's just MOA talk, sorry about that. Paper surveys can be submitted at the customer service office, or you can mail them at the address on there, or you can give them to one of us at this meeting or all these other meetings that we've identified. And then there was one other question, I think, in there.
Stop removal.
Stop removal. That's a tough one.
That's concrete.
So we tried to do that in 2017. We took away some stops on Lake Otis and Jewel Lake, and it made everybody mad. We thought it would speed up the bus. We didn't see a big difference. It can. It definitely can. But when you take away a stop, even if one person rides it, you've affected someone for forever. So unless you get a big benefit, our current policy is we're probably not going to remove stops just because it's very controversial and it affects somebody for maybe very small benefits right now. But it would be kind of good long term to look at an entire route and do an analysis and kind of figure out where we can kind of streamline stops or maybe move them so that they better align at equal distancing. There's definitely opportunity for that. And so that'll probably be a 2025 work product.
Okay, and yes, please state your name for the record, and go ahead.
My name is Ron Muir, and this is a bit of a more abstract question, I guess, but I figured you'd probably be able to answer it adequately. So historically, living in Anchorage, there has been somewhat of a anti-public transit or anti-people mover, belief or narrative that certain people, not any particular type of person, but more car-centric individuals like to perpetuate. I think a lot of that comes from class difference and also anti-homelessness mentality. And that's personal belief. I'm sure we can gather some data on that as well. But my question is, I know when you become a part of an institution, you start to kind of find it difficult to think outside of that institution. And I was just curious if you guys have kind of thought about the perspective of the people mover to the people who don't necessarily, they're not too keen on taking the bus, And is there some sort of advertising campaign that addresses that sort of mentality?
Was that?
That was it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. That also sounds like a more...
Yeah, I can say it is something that we think about almost daily within the marketing department. We have had campaigns in the past. We have done campaigns with businesses that just put signs up that says the bus comes here just so people know that maybe their server or somebody else is riding the bus to take there. We try to share stories of transit riders. But it is important because if someone never steps foot on a bus, it's important for them to know the value of public transit to the community. Not only that they support the transit department and support the bonds and the bond initiatives that we put out there that we need to operate, but they support the assembly and the budget decisions and all of that, and they understand the value of what it brings. So we do try to do that. It is with a bunch of other marketing tasks. You know, our main goal is to get people on the bus with our marketing money. We have a grant and it's tied to air quality, so we have to show that we are increasing ridership and reducing air quality. So, but it's part of that folded effort. But we are always open to suggestions on how to better message that particular thing, yes. We had a focus, sorry, I could talk for a long time. We had a focus group last year on just that particular topic on how to do that, and then we'll roll some of those out this year.
Okay, and then I see you, sorry, ma'am in the white sweater. Please state your name for the record and go ahead.
Bailey Demir again. I just wanted to follow up on my comments earlier and just expand on a couple of points. I think I mentioned that I am concerned both about the welfare of the drivers, of course, because it sounds like there are some considerable struggles they're contending with. But also the riders, and I kind of just wanted to get into a couple more details on what I see as some of the struggles that riders face, just because I'm kind of obsessed with buses and I take note of lots of details, and I feel like it might be relevant to this conversation here. And I know a lot of people I ride the bus with don't have time to come here and aren't able, and in fact I on my way here on bus I witnessed somebody getting up to come up to catch their bus, and they were passed by on my way here, and it was on the route where somebody could have been trying to catch two different buses, so I don't have factual proof that they were like missed on pickup, but that's one of the issues that riders contend with. I mentioned earlier they also contend with issues related to discrepancies between the schedules online and at the bus stops themselves, which can cause really big issues. I myself, on my birthday, missed a route for that reason. And also related to the people getting missed at their stops, I have seen that there doesn't seem to be like a universal symbol for like when you don't want the bus to stop. Like everybody kind of does a different thing. And if there was more clarity about that, I think that would be really helpful. And because I think drivers assume that they understand what people will do, and then sometimes they don't understand perfectly thoroughly. And then also I think that there could be a similar system for when there are two buses coming at the same time and you need to communicate which bus you want, because if the bus drivers of the two buses that are coming at the same time are confused, they oftentimes pass people by and I'm
thank you. Are there any members of the public who have not yet spoken who would like to make a comment? Okay. We will move on. Can I talk to you after the meeting? Because
no.
You had your comment here, or you can, if you'd like to send something to the communication options. So we will move on to member comments. I will start at this end. So CB, you get to go first.
Okay, well, I just want to thank the public. It looks like a good showing. We're all here for the same reason. We care and we ride the bus. I'm a daily rider, and I share the frustrations we all share. It's unfortunate that we're cutting positions or considering positions, considering ridership is up. I think this opportunity of finding out more about this class that's booked up is a huge roadblock, if that's which I believe is accurate. I want to thank the staff. You guys do a great job, and thanks to the rest of the board. Hopefully we can get a quorum. That's all for me.
Well, again, I'm just really gratified to see more members of the public here. It's really good. And to get your input. And also, I just mentioned that we're just a volunteer board, and we're set up by code for 9 members. I've been on the board maybe 5 years, and I think maybe 1 month we've had 9 members. So as you see, occasionally we don't get a quorum. So if you're a bus nerd, we would really love to have you on. There's a place on the website to apply to be on boards. And so think about that if you might have time to do that. The board itself, we're kind of a combination of a cheerleader and watchdog. We don't have any real power to do anything other than make reports or recommend things to the mayor's office or the assembly. But we do some promotion things. So we've written letters to the ADN, for example, as a board, and individually we've written letters. And of course, Bart, in his various capacities, is talking about public transit to the public. And we do brainstorm. I talk to people 3 or 4 times a week, people that I know have not ridden the bus, that have ideas about the bus, like you're saying, to talk about that. And we brainstorm things like maybe get some people, give them a week's pass, say, try the bus for a week, just give it a try. And so things like that could happen in the future, and who knows if they'd make any inroads or anything. But there are certain limitations in terms of funding. Like, I'm always thinking, can we put a new route here? Maybe get people out into the park for hiking, and then there are restrictions that mean there are certain things we can't do. So finally, I just want to say I was elected secretary of this August body a couple of meetings ago, and that means I write the minutes. And I did the minutes finally for May, and I did paper copies, so I'm just going to hand those out, even though they weren't in the packet, so we'll vote on them next time. But I just wanted to note one thing in this draft is the staff member who's been doing the minutes, Nick, I think this is municipal policy to say Ms. Sarah Prescott, Mr. Peter Hill. And so I think I know why they do that, but I'm just wondering if you want me to continue that as a matter of style in these things, because it's just a little awkward to put it every single time, Mr. Bart Rudolph.
Yeah,
sorry.
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Well, I can do that. So think about that, and we can talk about that, because this is just a draft. So when we get to that in the August meeting, when we have a quorum, whenever the August meeting is, thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Nathaniel.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep echoing and being very, very thankful for all of the members of the public coming today. Like my first, I think, day on the board, we didn't have anybody show up. And there was a long period of time during COVID where there just wasn't really anybody here. So getting started, it was hard to know what people were thinking in the public. So this genuinely super helpful. Tell more people to come. It's very, very helpful to get all this insight because it helps us be a better board, be a better volunteer board, and promote the right things. That's really all I got today.
Thank you. Doug stole my thunder. I was going to invite people to apply to the board because we do have some vacancies. I believe we have someone on the agenda for next week. Maybe?
I haven't double checked.
Okay.
For the assembly meeting.
Yes. Yeah. So there are some names in the ring. So hopefully we'll know about that soon. I also want to thank everybody for coming. I really appreciate the feedback. There are things that we haven't thought of. And, you might have found me nodding my head like, oh, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. I love to hear people also advocate for plowing the sidewalks. That's a topic near and dear to my heart. And I've testified in front of the assembly a number of times about plowing the sidewalks, complete with letters and resolutions. So yes, thank you for taking the time to come out tonight. I also encourage folks to reach out on these various contact methods listed in this packet and heading to these other meetings if you think of something a little bit later. And we will once again meet in August. And with that, I'm going to adjourn at 6:49. Okay. Because we don't have a quorum, so nobody has to second it. So we're done. Thank you, everybody. I demand to be called Ms. Sarah Prescott at all times. I do not.
I like this new circulation policy where like your book is due soon. Nobody asked for it, so you get it.
I think it might even be the second one.
For a while.
I feel like that snuck in. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I didn't know that was happening either, because it's not my department.
Yeah, really, really.
And also, I really have been, like, completely off the grid for about 2 weeks. I was like, I'll check in. I did not.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. I will inquire.
Yeah, or just email me.
Yeah, I was
wondering.
Yeah.
I think it's a good addition.
I was, okay, what was on the...